Damn it, I won't laugh. Hello, guys. Welcome to another episode of Morning Tea. If you are watching on Instagram, not Instagram, Jesus, YouTube, you already see I have a very, very special guest with me, and I am so excited. This is Miss Christine. You might know her on Instagram as Painting Pixie. We have so much to talk about. Christine, thank you so much for being here today.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Yes, and if anyone's watching, she's wearing big headphones because apparently she's like deaf.
I couldn't hear Ani, and you know she projects very well, so I need her in my ear.
You're like, she's loud. I don't know why I couldn't. Yeah. We're literally giggling. I'm like, we're gonna have to address your big old headphones, but look, yeah. I love it. You do look like a gamer.
Right, I'm very professional audio engineer over here.
Engineering.
Thank God my husband has these, because I would have never bought them.
So, Christine, in case people don't know you, tell them who you are, what you do, and like where they can find you.
Yeah, so I am an extension educator, but I kind of dabble in color, some social media stuff too. Basically anything I could stick a finger in. I have a subscription platform called More Than a Method. And we do lots of like guest educators and just trying to break out of the mold of having a really like structured and rigid way of applying extensions. Not to say that methods or structure are bad, but a lot of artists need something a little bit different, especially as they get more advanced within that skill set. So you can find me on Instagram, More Than a Method, or Painting Pixie. I know the name doesn't make a damn bit of sense, but it did 7 years ago when I had a pixie and I did lots of balayages.
I think you're pretty tall, right?
Yeah, I'm 5'7", so like a little above average of a woman. Yeah. But not like, you know, I'm not gonna like tower over people. Right?
Oh, you might be but it's so funny. Pixie, because you literally have waist-length hair.
That's all.
Before I say waist-length, I need to know how tall you are, because that does matter. Like, it's a big difference.
Yeah. Yes, definitely. Yeah. But
I love what you're saying about, like, I don't want to say, like, more than a method, because methods are amazing. Like, there's so many great methods there. But I agree. Like, I've been doing, my God, hand-tied extensions by themselves now since 2015. I've been doing hand tied. Before that, I did like the individual beads and K-tips and tapes. Tapes are hard. Yeah. I think it's like a texture.
Stickiness. The adhesive.
Ooh, yeah. I swear I could feel it on my fingers for 3 to 5 business days. Like that shit.
I love it.
So when I see people do tapes, I'm like, I commend you. I know you're crushing it and you must love it, because that shit is hard.
Yes. I agree. There's so many different things that you can do and dabble in extensions.
Yeah.
Right. I started kind of similarly. You know, we did K-tips. We did like the nano laser beamer. Have you seen that? I'm going to get my husband, if we have it at the salon, I'm going to get him to plug it in for us so you can freaking hear it. It's like a fax machine. So it's like, it looks like a gun, like something from 007 or something, some sort of sci-fi movie. It lights up, it has rave colors on it, and it who made this? You could tell this was made in like early 2000s or like the 90s, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a gun that applies like multiple nanos in a row that almost makes them into a tape. Yeah.
I mean, and weirdly intriguing, but I think this might throw me off. Do you know, I actually hate the sound of blow dryers. Something about like blow dryers and vacuums like irk my ears, to where I have to have like headphones in. Obviously, I can't to the salon, but when I've been blow drying, I'm like, oh, thank God the sequence is back.
I think as it's so constant, you know, and some of them have like a higher pitched whine too. Not everybody hears it, but I have heard that. Like, people like the Dyson, but I can hear it more with the Dyson than I can with other blow dryers, that high pitch sound.
Oh, yeah, I feel that. And so, like, with extensions, I don't know if you've noticed this, but I feel like I have. I don't want to say it's almost, like, trending to blend methods, but I feel like it is now.
Yeah.
Before, it used to be, like, if you're K-tips, you're all K-tips. Die hard, nothing else.
Yeah.
Tape-ins, you're all tape-ins. Wefts, everything sucks except West. And now people are like, well, I'm kind of like mixing the two. And I feel like that trend is coming back, and I'm in love with it.
I am too. And I honestly think that a lot of that trend started with like marketing from companies, you know, because it does benefit, and not one individual company, but just overall in the industry, like it does benefit for you to say beaded rows are the best if you teach beaded rows, or tapes are the best if you teach tapes. I mean, it makes sense. But yeah. I think we as stylists can get really influenced by that. We don't always know who is influencing as well, like brand deals and things like that, that might not be like super out in the open.
Yeah.
But I think that over time, stylists all over just kind of realize like, oh, I'm seeing really amazing grow outs over there, but I was told that like this would be really damaging to the hair.
Yeah.
And so that nuance of like, well, yes, anything can be damaging if we put the wrong system on the wrong person, if they don't take care of it, like so many factors, right? But if you learn how to select the right approach for each client, then there's so much customization that opens up. It becomes kind of more like color and less like extensions, or at least the extensions in the past, you know, 10, 15 years.
Yeah.
And that's what I think is so cool about like the, what's the word I'm looking for? The like for more than a method, like the overall, like not theme is not the word I'm looking for.
Yeah.
I'm tired today. I'm not lying.
It's okay.
I woke up. I went to Sum 41 and I was like, this is millennial goth and scene heaven. Like, I've never seen so many people in their 30s and 40s dressed in all black parties.
Decked out. Yeah. I love it.
Like, no lie.
Yes.
But I think it's about like the methodology, not the word, about more than a method is it literally doesn't matter which method of extensions you do, like which right. like particular brand, it can be applied anywhere. And I think that's the cool part, because I know someone like me, like let me know if you're like this too, that once I feel like I've mastered something, which I know mastery is, you know, subjective, I kind of get bored, and then I start getting that itch of like, well, what's next, what now? And it's like, okay, well, you haven't mastered extension. I don't even know if anyone ever will, but yeah, you master a particular portion of it. But that's what I think is so cool about more than a method is it doesn't matter which brand you do, you can always learn something to then yes. add into what you already know to then like jig and adjust.
Yeah, absolutely. And I really try to focus too on explaining the different materials that we're working with, because I think that that's a big thing that, you know, we know there's to use weft, we know there's hand tie, we know there's all these different methods, but understanding the impact that they may bring to your client specifically, because a lot of women with hair issues or scalp issues, like they're combined, you know, if you have low density, for some reason, there's this, you know, link that they don't quite know why it's there, but with like a higher yeast production, meaning like dandruff, or somebody may have psoriasis. So choosing the right things for those people can help you, like you said, no matter what you kind of bring to the table. Like the one thing for me in my personal experience, like going from wefts to K-tips,
yes.
was realizing that my scalp was so much healthier. And it's not because I had all terrible installs, but if you think of the weft like a blanket over the scalp and it's staying damp, I have tried Genius Wefts, but they slip so easy on me because my hair's so, so, so soft.
Yeah.
And I have a little peanut head. Like, I know there's hair all the way over here, so you can't see, but it is micro tiny. And a lot of gray around my ears. So, oh. you know, wearing wefts is very hard for me to disguise, because like first day, if you have speckly gray, it's like easy to see into a dark weft.
Yeah.
Also hard to make a speckly weft. And have it stay that way. Because even if I like baby light it to pick up those same pieces to make them as ashy as I am, see all these things. But with K-tips, I literally don't do anything. Which even Alex was like, you don't blow dry? I'm like, I did today for you.
You're like, but sorry, lazy. I'm not doing shit.
Well, we were talking about it. We think that maybe for people with really fine, like sensitive, and I do have an elastic scalp, especially around like this region, it might actually be better if the texture of the person's hair allows it to air dry, because I'm not pulling on my bonds all the time.
Dude, and you know what I love that you, I don't know if you realized you just said it, because I know that you use Genius wefts. I know you use hand-tied wefts.
Yeah.
I know you create your own K-tips. And in case you wonder who Alex is, it's Alex JMD, right?
Alex JD Beauty.
Fuck, I'm adding letters. Alex JD.
It's okay.
I'm taking his class in November, and when I tell you, I want to throw up. That is some of the most invisible, like immaculate K-tip work I've ever seen. Like, I'm I see his account and I'm like drooling over it. Well, yes. So I know you use all sorts of hair, but what I think is cool is just because it doesn't work for you, doesn't make it trash.
Exactly.
Not like, genius whips are all garbage. They didn't work for me. Okay, it doesn't work for your hair, your texture, your density, your scalp, but it doesn't mean it won't work for someone else.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually had a stylist say to me once, like when I told her, I was like, I won't ever wear wefts again, but that doesn't make wefts bad. They just didn't, I shouldn't say never, like maybe there's a different technique that will come out that we'll try and it'll like work for me. So I'm not like super closed off, but as of right now. And she was like, well, I would never tell anyone that. Like, you shouldn't ever tell your students that. And she didn't mean it in like a bitey way, you know, but she was just like, kind of like, scared for me. And I was like, you know, I don't agree, because I think that like that kind of mentality is very pervasive in the industry, but I don't think that I have to wear the identical thing that I'm doing. It would be like saying like a vivid artist has to wear vivids. Like they don't. Like me doing a pixie cut, if I want to do a pixie cut out, I mean, we'd be morphing into a lot of different types of styles if that was the case, you know. But I have experienced it. So it is helpful for on a personal level to have that experience, but I think it's absolutely okay if you dabble and you find out you really like something for yourself and then you educate on something different. That's totally fine. Well, here, look at Jay Edwards. His head is like shaved sometimes, like, but he's a color master, you know?
It's so funny, by the way. I see his shit and I'm like, he's wild and I love him.
I love him too. But,
like, I own a hand-tied weft company. I haven't worn extensions in like this year. Right. I'm not even aware.
That was me months ago before Alex saved me. I hadn't worn them in forever too.
And that's the thing. Like, am I getting my extensions put back in next week? Probably about when this podcast comes out. Yes, we're doing my hair in LAX airport on the way to Australia. So like, God help us. That. But here's the deal. Even though I own a hand tie company, we're not only doing hand tie, we're also doing individuals. Just for the simple fact of like my underneath, like my hair is, I have a lot of density and it's so blunt. And I want 22s because I've lost my mind. So like not having individuals is literally not an option. So I just ended up coloring my West, cutting them, making my own individuals. But some people are like, kind of receive that too, where they're like, but you sell hand tie. And I'm like, wow, but hand tie isn't the, it's my preference. I like working with them, but that doesn't mean Genius Weft stuff or anything else is bad. It comes to personal preference. But I also know for some clients, it doesn't work great. So like I have a company that I use, like a sister company of mine, that they make Genius Weft and we have the same color. So that's really easy. Like I think we have to get out of our heads of like, I do think this is almost like human nature. For me to be right, you have to be wrong. For mine to be the best, yours can't be the best. And it's like, well, no, everyone can actually be the best in their own certain circumstances. And for some people, some things just won't work, and that's okay.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think that, because I mean, I've struggled with the same mentality, right? I mean, it's just very easy to slide into. It's very easy to slide into being hyper-competitive. It's just, I think it is our human nature to react that way, especially when we're kind of like acting in our like ego, not to get all, you know, philosophical, but it's a thing. It's much easier to defend, deflect, or attack than it is to self-assess and see where you could think differently or do something differently. But I think for people stuck in that, you know, hard area where it does feel really competitive and it does hurt your feelings when you see other people use different things, just know that it takes, like, you having the feeling is fine.
Yes.
It's what you do with it afterwards and how you self-assess of like, instead of getting upset, getting curious, well, why did I feel like my business was affected by somebody, you know, saying that K-tips are great? Yeah. And at the end of the day, it probably comes from a place of fear. And when we're fearful, we fight, flight, freeze. You know what I mean? All of those nervous system reactions kind of pop up. And it does take practice to tell your own brain, calm down. Like, we're okay over here.
Yeah.
And I think the internet makes that compounded because now we're not thinking about the person down the street. We view our quote unquote competition all day, every day. So you have to reframe it to look at the people that you're seeing as inspiration. And if you really don't vibe with somebody, like, don't follow them or, you know, mute stuff if it bothers you. Nothing wrong with that. Like, you don't have to connect with everybody. I think that can be a bad thing too, because then you might be like warping yourself to be the right person for them, you know?
Also, but, I've been guilty of that. Where like, I see people that, and I feel like it was like after I was let go from my previous job, it's been 2 years, but you know, like when you're in something for so long that you're like, this is the only way it's done. And then when you're out of it, it's almost like, not that you're like free falling because I wasn't spiraling, but it's a moment where there's now no rules. And sometimes no rules is scarier than having very strict rules because anything and everything goes. And I literally just finished talking. I was talking to my friend Michelle about this this morning that she was like, I gotta find a way to like loose and have fun. And I was like, here's the deal. It's easier said than done, man. It is so much easier said than done. I was like, even when like I was like, go for my previous company, it took me probably a year to like figure out my own flow because I would think that I was like letting loose, but then I would see someone else that like, cause I don't think I'm cool. There are a lot of other people that I'm like, oh, you're cool. Like your vibe is cool. You're cool. And I'd see them and be like, well, I'm not cool enough. And then I'm like, well, should I change what I'm doing? Am I something wrong? And you know what's crazy? Anytime I would change to be cooler, everything would drop. Analytics would go down. Sales would go down because it just wasn't me. And it took so long. I mean, easily like a year to be like, wait. If you're not like them, it's fine. It doesn't make me any less cool. People like me. Like, it's such an interesting dynamic. But like, I've had to mute people. I won't block them because they did nothing wrong. I still like them.
Yeah.
But it's literally like my own internal battle was like going inside where I had to like, it's almost like you have to like relearn yourself and like grow and figure out who you are. Because if you don't know who you are and you're not so like certain in that, you can be thrown off kilter easy. And I think like that's what happens in the education industry, right? I don't think color is like this. I think color is like pretty chill. So more so like extensions where it's like, well, she said if I take a half inch section that it's gonna pull all the hair out. And it's like, okay, but that doesn't, it's fine. Like, but that's not also true. Being an educator is really fucking hard. But I think that's where like if you get yourself to the point where you realize like, because like I'm coming out with a method, right? But that doesn't mean I'm not gonna support you in more than a method. I think what you do is brilliant. Like, who cares?
Right.
And like I think when you get to the point of realizing your success doesn't mean my failure and my success doesn't mean yours, we can literally both succeed. And I'm sure people who take education from you might want education from me and vice versa.
Yep.
That's like a cool place to be. That I think is where everything is like fun again.
I agree. And I think that's why they have more fun in the color industry, because they are very collaborative and like they'll hype each other up without expecting anything in return too. I just think that we get so like one track mind with like success. What does that mean? I don't know about you, but I'm sure you're going to agree. But I'm like, oh, I think you will. But if I become the richest extension artist in all of the land and I have no friends, and everyone hates me, I don't want that. I don't want success at the expense of connections, like true connections with people, and at the expense of helping people. Because I do think when we get really dogmatic about teaching, like when it's really, really, really extreme, that we, not even through like a purposeful action, but we end up taking confidence away from stylists. And I'm speaking as like educators speaking to stylists. You know, and there are certain things, of course, that like within social media marketing, sometimes the hook is negative, you know, like that's one thing. But when you're kind of making like a vested effort to put down like an entire application type, just to give like a random example, like K-tips will always destroy your hair. Anybody who does them is a terrible, heinous person that's lazy or something like that.
You don't care about your clients.
Yeah. And like, so then people see those things. And I don't know if people really understand the impact that it brings to stylists, because a really common theme that I have crop up, especially when I have like in-person classes and people feel more comfortable to get a little bit more vulnerable with like their headspace, their mental health of where they're at. I get DMs like that too, but you get a longer conversation in person. And it's really beneficial for them to talk about it. But what I see repeating is that they just are so confused because there's a lot of conflicting information, but then a lot of times because it's almost made to make you feel bad. And so then they have this like shame cycle they have to get out of. And I don't know. I mean, it One, I think that us kind of getting away from that kind of marketing will be beneficial for the mental health of literally everybody involved in the industry. But then I also feel like people think, popping back over to like the competition versus like collaboration portion, people really think that like to get on top, sometimes you have to like step on people. But my business has always flourished when I do the opposite. And I do the opposite knee-jerk reaction. If I get jealous of someone, jealousy is a really normal, like, human emotion.
It's fine.
Yes. Or feeling inferior, imposter syndrome. Like, everybody, I think, unless you just, like, don't have the capacity to have that type of feeling, but that's not the majority of the population. Most people feel those things. It's about how you drive your actions afterwards. If I get jealous of you, Ani, and I think, oh my God, her post went like viral and mine's not going viral, and then I make, and trust and believe, I've done this before, you know what I mean? But like, then I make like a post that's kind of snarky. There's like passive aggressive, like laced stuff in there because I'm feeling inferior. So I need to kind of project that onto other people, basically. Yeah. It's not really going to be beneficial to me. It may be in the short term. I may get a lot of eyes on my page, but do I want those eyes really being there if they're kind of just watching a train wreck? Not really.
And that's what I think people don't realize. Mm-hmm. You like, because I've seen like a lot of snark. I think the extension world, unfortunately, is very snarky, very catty, very mean girl. And like, it sucks that it's like that, but that's what I think people don't realize. Because I literally, here's the deal. I'm a diary at this point. Like, I'm everyone else's diary. People come, you're not going to believe this. And I'm like, I bet you I will at this point.
I'm like, I have 5 entries saying the same thing.
I think I'm not surprised by this anymore. Yeah. And so, like, what's so crazy about that is, like, people notice what you're doing. And I don't mean you. Yeah. I mean, like, if you're the person being a snarky post or being mean or doing these things, people notice, and just based on my DMs, they don't like it. They're actually very put off by it. So you're better off, honestly, just focus on your own stuff. Do you, baby, like teach, educate, like go hard, go hard, go home, do all the things. But when you're putting off that mean girl energy, even if you think you're right, people notice. And not only do they notice, they will screenshot, share, screen record, and they will send it to the person that they think you're being snarky about. That's the crazy part.
Mm-hmm. I agree. That's something kind of wild that I didn't really like see on my bingo card for becoming an educator is, but I do think it's like some of the topics that probably you and I both cover too. So like, you know, talking about like toxic communities within education and things like that, it makes people feel safe to speak to you about those sorts of things. But it is really disheartening. It's disheartening to see stylists like upset, confused, or just annoyed, you know, because of all that's going on. And it's also very hard if you are being the, if kind of you are receiving that end of content, it's very hard to stay above board the entire time. It's really difficult because I don't know about you, but like the inner me is like more fight than flight. It's more I'm going to stand up for myself, but I'm really going to stand up for somebody else if I feel like they're being wronged. So it's a practice in self-control, but it's taught me a lot about myself and about other people and about, you know, the capacity that you can have to just let things slide off. Cause I think sometimes that's the only way you put out a fire. Too.
Well, and it's so funny because like I'll have people send me things and they'll be like, I think this is about you, and I'll read some stuff and I'll go, you know what, based on who it's coming from, that might actually be about me. But what's interesting, the place I find myself in is it might be directed towards me, but I'm not offended because I know it's not true.
Yeah,
like if someone, they were like, if you, I don't even, I literally can't think of an example, which is hilarious, but if you wear black shirts, you're a piece of shit. And if I look down wearing a black shirt and I'm like, maybe, but that has nothing to do with me.
Right.
Like, that's how you look at everything. And I think that's also why, like, as I build my brand, like on TikTok and Instagram, I am able to let things go a little, not even a little, like quite a bit easier. Cause I'm like, if you're saying that someone's a piece of shit and they're in it for the money, I know it's not me because I'm not. Cause I'm very much so like you. I have a business coach. And when we were talking about like me creating Content Coven, I was like, it has to have a community. It has to have a place where everyone can talk and everyone can meet each other and everyone can chat and they can ask questions and they can say that they're happy and they can say they're upset. I want to be in there every day, because without the community, none of this is worth it to me.
Yeah.
It's like you said, almost like I'm standing alone on a pile of money, but everyone fucking hates me or they're scared of me or think they can't talk to me.
Right.
That's not worth it to me. And, you know, I actually had someone tell me once, they were like, you'll never be a millionaire without stepping on people. And I'm like, I fucking disagree.
I disagree too.
You don't have to, like, can you probably make more money by being a piece of shit? Sure. But guess
what? By taking advantage of people. Yeah.
Doesn't last forever. Like, eventually the people to take advantage of, they run dry and so does your money. So I've always said, like, I would rather build slow and build ethically and with morals and integrity intact than like rise to stardom and fame or whatever wealth and then have like literally look down and see a bunch of dead bodies. That's not.
Yeah, I agree. And the thing is, like, it may bring more success like more quickly, but then to sustain your success, you have to work 100 times as hard because you're fighting against the perception that you've built for yourself. That's not great. And so it's an uphill battle after that. But instead, if you just treat people, and this is not just education, but let's say you own a salon, you have an assistant. I mean, it doesn't even have to be that you have like multiple chairs. Like if you just treat people well, everybody makes mistakes.
Yeah.
Everybody. But if you do things that are legal, that's step one. Don't do anything illegal. Because it's easy to, if you don't know what you're doing with pay, like, it, you know, hire an accountant. Like, you don't want to step on any laws or, like, break them by accident because you're just used to the way the industry operates, which lots of times is just incorrect because we don't have corporate HRs. You know what I mean? Running around telling us, like, what's okay and what's not. But, you know, do the legal things, but then also just be a good person.
Yeah.
Easier said than done. Sometimes if you're living in a place of defensiveness and everybody has such a different life story, the reason you may be defensive is because of all the shit you've been through in your life. You know what I mean? Like you had to build up an armor, but I think it's so worth it to, again, get curious about why you feel that way and really just lead with pure intentions, good ethical mindset. And you'd be really amazed at the things that can happen. I mean, I can think of Claire Cuts Hair. She owns Gloss Salon. She has a multitude of employees that absolutely love her. I just did a private class for her here at More Than Method. She flew all her people from St. Louis, which I was like, well, I feel so special.
You're like me?
Yeah. but they were amazing. And, you know, they're young. And I hear so much trash talk about young stylists. And, you know, I feel like every generation, it just goes in a circle with stuff like that. But they are hardworking, but they have boundaries. You know, they don't want to overwork themselves. But when I tell you the technical skill set on these 22-year-old stylists had my mind blown. Right. And that's not just, you know, that doesn't just happen in a vacuum. It happens because Claire supports them. And not just through education, but she's in the salon with them. She's in the trenches with them. She is respectful of them and she wants to see them grow. She pushes them, but she doesn't berate them. Do you know what I mean? Like there's a big difference.
There's
a big difference between supporting and then scolding.
Yeah. You know? A salon I used to work at. Greg, you're going to have to cut me laughing out. Hold on. Okay. Oh my God, let's get it. So a salon I used to work at, that actually was like a really big problem for a bit to the point where, because their feedback isn't an issue. And I always say like, I love feedback, give it to me. There's a high probability I'm going to cry just because I care and I'm emotional about that. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
but tell me anyway, like it's not just let me know, but there's a difference between feedback that is helpful and feedback that is given in a way that literally tears someone down. And a salon I used to work at, every morning, Monday through Friday, the owner would be looking through people's Instagrams at the pictures they posted, and she'd start sending messages to the point where, girl, I'm talking, it is 8 a.m., and there are stylists crying in the salon going, if she sends me one more message, I fucking quit. To the point like me and the salon manager had to like talk to the owner and be like, you are not allowed to message any of your stylists in the morning anymore. You're ruining their day. They're threatening to quit. They're gonna walk out. And it was just such an interesting, like, not like feedback the owner gave back. She's like, well, I'm just helping. And I'm like, no, you're being mean as shit. Like, no, you, at no way did you even tell them, great job, or wow, I love this. The lighting is a little off. Jig and adjust this. It's just like, well, this is ugly. This is this. And it was so, like, jarring and shocking to the senses that you're like, damn, if people lead with kindness, and like, would you want someone talking to you like that?
Right.
Know that you wouldn't. Like, I was banned. Because I'm a dry texter, which is, I mean, you and I think we were talking on the, like, audioing about string for like 45 minutes the other day.
Yeah, we were.
String types and how much water retention they have. Like, it was back at that message, I was like, that was a long conversation about string, but man, were we excited about that. But like, at one point, like, I was told, because I use periods because punctuation, I was told I had to include emojis in my messages because the owner was offended. And I'm like, you just yelled at like half a staff. I have to send a fucking emoji. I was like, I'm not doing that. This is grammar.
Yeah.
Interesting things like that. But it's not to say don't help your staff or don't give your students feedback. But it's a very fine line between helping and demoralizing them. And I think that's like some brands. And I mean, probably most brands at one point or other have done this, where it's like, we're the best, period, full stop. And if you don't do it our way, then ooh, that's bad. And I gotta say, the marketing is good. Like, props to their marketing. It's amazing. But then it's like, now those stylists leave and they're like, yeah, I'm the best. You have the best method in the world. And everyone else is trash. And everyone else is like, damn, bitch.
All right. Calm down.
Why are you yelling at me? What the fuck? Yeah. It's like, no, it's all of it can be good. And I think if we focus. And do you feel like people think there is a shortage of people who want extensions, like clients?
Yeah, I do. I think that people are not recognizing that it takes more to get an extension client, but there are plenty of them to go around.
Yeah.
But you have to, your perceived value has to match your actual value. And I think that for so long, just technique has been worked on, and like, I get it. We want the technique to be good, but Sally doesn't care how you put your bead in, or like, do you know what I mean? Like, how it starts or where it ends, as long as it feels marginally comfortable. It doesn't even have to be fully comfortable for the majority of sensitive, or like somebody who is a little bit more neurotic who's going to feel everything.
Yeah.
But
I'm that guy.
Yeah, same. And same. Same. Why same. Say it full well that I am that.
Yeah. I'm like, everything will hurt for a day. That doesn't mean you did a bad job.
I'm tender.
Tender-headed baby. The worst is when a woman's on their period, get out of my chair. Come back.
Oh, it's so much worse. I've been getting laser hair removal, and they didn't prep me for that. Like, I came in, like, I think it was like 2 days before my period. I was like screaming.
You get laser hair removal now.
Everywhere, girl. Why is it? Do the whole body. No, not the whole body. Underarms.
Oh, my mustache. Down my
underarms, and then knees down, because I don't really have a ton of hair on my thighs. Like, it's light enough and stuff that I don't have to worry about it. And then a full Brazilian.
Good for you. Also, you don't have a mustache. I'm laughing because it's someone who.
Oh, no, it's fine.
Some days I look in the mirror and I'm like, you gotta get rid of that, girl.
I get one. I gotta pluck my little
layer. Dude, I found it the longest hair on my chin the other day, and I'm like, this is
getting old. Really great.
Nothing has made me feel more old than that one freezing hair on my chin, and I was like, this is devastating. We gotta get rid of this.
Yes. And I have like a couple grays in my eyebrows now. I'm like,
I literally only noticed. Because I put my hand on my chin and I was like, what the fuck is this?
My husband has found one once. I was like, don't you dare fucking pull on that. You just act like it doesn't exist until I can get it.
Chris would be fucking, like, look at what I got. You're like, don't. What the course. I'm just kidding. That's not.
If anybody wants laser hair removal, though, by the way, you might as well get a Brazilian and not a bikini, because the Brazilian part doesn't hurt. Your pubic bone area is insanity. Insanity.
A laser off?
Yes, that's where it hurts the most.
Forget it. You know what? I'm just, no.
But I haven't shaved in months.
Oh, stop. Because I leave in a week for Australia, I know we're way off topic, but I don't care anymore. I have been
letting people need to know.
I'm waxing my legs like this stuff in a few days.
So you don't have to worry about it.
Yes. And so sometimes I look down and I'm like, that's this. We're scary, but I need it to grow out. So because my fiance is, he's out of town for work, I'm like, no one cares.
Right. Yeah.
Grow out.
Yes. Yes. No, well, one of the best investments I've ever made, but I'm also so pale and my hair is so dark. Like especially my bikini line area, I would shave and I would have a 5 o'clock shadow like the next day. So I would always be so embarrassed to go swimming because I'm like, listen, y'all, I really did shave, but you can see and I should say this, not just pale, I have thin skin. So like even my esthetician, look, she can't stop laughing at my misfortune. But like even my under eyes and stuff, always dark looking because it's like not very many layers of skin, I guess. Yeah. So you can see the follicle even when it's shaved, okay?
And also, why are you looking at my crotch so much? Why is your own damn business?
Right. I bet nobody else was, but I was. I was like, ah! Yeah.
Yeah. I'm never gonna recover from this. I'm so glad we're talking about this because I swear, because I'm Spanish, I'm Puerto Rican, and our hair is just dark. Like I have a lot of hair on my arms. I have dark hair on my legs. And when I see like the light-skinned, blonde-haired, blue-eyed babies, I'm like, life must be nice for you, isn't it? That's great for you.
Yeah. Right. Right. Well, it's so funny because I mean, of course, like naturally blonde, but I'm so gray. I look lighter. Like I look like a 7, but. If you look at pictures of me when I was little, I just look so strange because I'm so pale. My hair is so dark.
I feel, was it you talking about this? No, it was Alex talking about certifications. We got to address this real quick because, man, I got the most interesting DM because Alex basically was like, certifications are bullshit. They don't mean anything. Like sometimes you get a certification for a 1-day class. Sometimes it takes you a year. And I'm like, yeah, I agree. I haven't got an interesting DM from a girl who was like, I will never go to someone not certified because I went to someone whose Instagram was great and they claimed they were great and they trashed my hair. And I'm like, I hear you, but that can still happen if someone has a piece of paper saying they're certified.
Exactly. Like,
I was the director of education for a company for 5 years and they never certified me. And people in my DMs have been appalled at that. And they're like, how? Why would they do that? And I'm like, because I worked with them before certifications were a thing. And by the time I'd been there for years, what do you want them to do? Tell me I had to test out? I made all the education. Like, I'm good. I don't need that. It's fine.
Yep. Yeah, I do feel like they give a false sense of security is my biggest thing with them. Like, it's like people think, like a stock or a client would think, oh, this stylist is certified. And therefore, I had a client come into me. I actually used to do her hair years ago. She moved away, but she went somewhere recently and she got a really bad like color job along with the extensions. She's dark naturally. She had previous color, and it was like level 7 orange into like ashy, almost blue at the bottom.
Okay.
And she said, when we were talking, she said, but she was master certified with this company. And I was like, well, one, I don't know. Now, they could have been master like color version certified too. Maybe I know some companies do that. I didn't ask what company.
Yeah.
But it just doesn't matter. You know what I mean? It's like we as individual people and stylists can do amazing work and do a terrible job one day. You know, it happens. Whether it's something in your personal life that's thrown you off, a situation you've never run into behind the chair, like we all make mistakes. It's how you fix them. But you know, that false sense of security, I think, also rolls over onto the stylist to say, well, I'm certified. So, you know, I'm good. I don't need this education or that education, when in reality, everything moves so quickly and we learn so much more year over year about what we're working with, because extensions in the realm of, you know, time span have not been around in our community, meaning like, you know, not just African-American culture and Black community has had it for a lot longer. So they've been, and trialing and testing things for a lot longer than us. And this is relatively new in the world of hair. And so I think like always pursuing education is important.
Yep.
And just because a class gives you a certification doesn't mean it's going to be a good class. And I think that that's where it also gives a false sense of security when purchasing. It's like, oh, I'll be certified, so it must be good. But it's just, there's no litmus test. There's no overarching governing body that's going back behind any of this to say whether or not it's, you know, something that you should invest in. So until we get like a hair extension government, we ain't getting it.
And I will say, I love watching it's generally Black stylists. When they braid, it is the coolest, most magical, fastest hands I've ever seen in my
wild
life.
Wild.
Like, that is something, because I always say, like, I also don't think you have to be good at everything. Like, Red, yeah. I'm not your girl. Sorry. It's something I honestly don't even want to be good at. Same with curly hair. I'm not good at it. And I'm not even going to pretend like I am. I don't think, if you want to specialize in things, I think that's a non-issue. But man, when I see these women that braid, I'm like, I just want to braid all day. It is the coolest thing I've ever seen. And especially when it's like the micro braids and those little ones that it looks like hundreds. It is so stunningly beautiful. It's one of those things like I wish I could wear. I can't. My hair's not good for that. It would never work. Like, it wouldn't work for me, but it is so just stunning is the only word I can look at, like say, because I just stop looking at it. It's amazing.
Super stunning. And it takes a lot of skill because they're having to juggle the same things we are with scalp elasticity, pulling the hair out of the, you know, natural growth pattern. Like you have to be so good. Like I've always worked in more diverse. Well, I won't say always, not my first one wasn't, but I've at a lot of times worked in more diverse salons. Like when I worked at Garnish, which is like Candace Motley's salon, I was the only white girl, actually the only white person working there for a while. And I was like, I'm the token white girl. And I loved it because I got to see so many more things than I had ever seen or known about. And the styling of hair too was taken very seriously and taught me so much about blow drying and curling and things like that. But overall, just if you see a bad braid job, like somebody who's just too tight, you could have an infection from it. Like that is how high risk it can get. Yes. Because if it's tight enough, and you start to get folliculitis, on the back of your neck, and you scratch and spread, and now we have this huge issue. So, you know, when you see those beautiful braids and you see a beautiful scalp with it, it's like that person's so skillful because as fast as they are and as firm as it looks like they're actually doing their job, they're taking all of that into consideration when they're braiding, depending upon the person.
Yep. It is seriously like that is like an entirely different like sector, like braiding of it's still extension work because most of the time they are getting work put in. Yes. And it is just fascinating to watch all around. And I feel like one last thing I want to touch on is you kind of said it, but then like didn't. I think what's interesting is like, so let's say more than a method was a method itself. If 10 people learn it and let's say one person doesn't do a good job on it, I also don't think that's indicative of what the method, if the method is good or bad. Look, realistically, and I always use Leitner as the perfect example, especially because I'm going from this to this. Like, we're going from a level 2 past a 10 at this point. Like, it's a lot of work. I've had people do it on my head, like when I had it on the scalp, and they've used 40 volume, and I'm gonna tell you that hurts. Don't do that, right? It's not the lightener's problem. I'm not gonna go and trash the lightener and say the product is a piece of shit, because I've had people do the same thing with 15, 20 volume, get an outcome with no pain. And that's something I think we have to remember. So if there's, you know, ABC hair extension method and someone does it wrong, I don't think it's fair to say, oh, well, ABC sucks, they're the worst. Well, no, it's someone potentially didn't practice enough, or it was a really hard client. You can do work that is perfect to a T, but a hard client who maybe doesn't take care of it, or their scalp is more tender or more flexible, like that changes everything. And I do think we should also, in the extension world, give a little bit of grace with that and remember that sometimes realistically it's an us problem. We did that. We chose, you can choose the wrong color formula or not leave lightener on long enough or
yes.
install something wrong, or a client gets a little too freaky at home.
Yeah.
They fuck up their own clothes. Like all these things happen. So I think we, as an extension industry, should really stop being like, well, I learned Christine's method and it didn't go well, so Christine sucks. Well, I'm not saying you suck, but maybe you should have practiced more. Anything I'm good at now, I want to be clear, I've sucked so hard at everything.
Yes.
It doesn't matter what it is. We can go everywhere from the gym to coloring hair to extensions to social media. Everything I've ever tried, I was hot garbage at in the beginning. I only got good through so much practice, you know?
Yeah, agreed. And I think the thing too is that I believe that this point kind of wraps back up into that dogmatic way of like, this is the only answer.
Mm-hmm.
Because of that messaging and that education, even educators within the brand may have situations happen where damage happens and internalize it, when in reality, it might have just been the wrong approach for that person. But because you're so hardlined, you can't break out and like customize anything. So I think it keeps us from growing in an industry to think that way, and then it can pop up in that way as well, you know. So, but because a lot of times it's like, you know, if something's not working for somebody, there's a million different things that could be going on. I mean, it's literally, you had a bad day, you weren't paying attention when you put those beads in. You know, like you said, client gets a little freaky when they shouldn't be. Anything. And some methods are also, and application types are stronger than others.
Yes.
So, and you can build your foundation to be stronger. If I have a client, and I say this all the time in my education, I think it really helps people. If I have a client come in the door, slam down their purse, trip over the chair, rip their ponytail out of their head, we all know this person, the one that like speaks over you and is like turning to you in the chair. Yeah, every time you talk, they're like trying to look at themselves in the mirror too. We love them. But those are not the people that I'm going to put in the foundation that can easily be ripped out.
Yep.
You know, a K-tip even could potentially be really damaging for that type of client, because you just have this small piece of hair with this K-tip attached to it. Mm-hmm. Maybe they need a beaded row, but they need a beaded row that's really
more like substantial.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. So maybe I want to utilize things that don't look as pretty, aesthetically pleasing, as getting that, you know, like super, super seamless row, but something that's actually going to stay in their head. Bellamy doesn't care if you talk about him. So like, you know, a Bellamy kind of structure for somebody who has a ton of hair could be really beneficial, as long as you do your beadwork, right? Because it is a lot of hair that it's attaching to, and that kind of style can hold a volume width too. So, you know, it can hold a lot of weight, but when we box ourselves in, then we can't think of those other solutions. And I always like to say too, if I don't know how to do it, I'm going to refer you out. Yes, I will learn things, or I'll ask you if I can experiment on you.
Yeah.
You know, I will do that. But it's okay, like you said earlier, Ani, to not always be the best at things, to not do everything. So like people are asking, will I bring like topper mesh integration more than method? I don't have any plans to do that right now. I think it needs to be a more in-depth class. Most of the guest education that I have is not a course. It is like a video that's condensed into 30, 40 minutes, max an hour. Mm-hmm. And I think that would be really unfair. You know what I mean? To bring something on.
There's not a topper in 40 minutes. That's
No. And like mesh integration, like it's just so different. It's not like going from one type of beaded row to another, where a lot of these subsets of skills, like they actually build upon one another. And then you can get better and better at each individual method the more that you learn.
Yep.
Mesh integration is just totally different. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's important for us as stylists behind the chair to also recognize that within ourselves. If we have a really like difficult case, it's actually really great for your business to refer them to somebody else. It's how I built a lot of my book locally, and then became friends with stylists as well, and made a local community and not just an online community that also engages online, you know, like being kind and creating connections and giving people clients when you either can't handle any more of them or they're not a good fit for you is very underutilized in the industry.
Yeah, because then I think that comes back to people are like, mine. What is it? Those fucking seagulls on Finding Nemo. Mine. Like, it's like, no, that's not the case. And even like talking about something that's more, I would say like structurally sound, because there's a lot of hidden bead methods that, yes, like the flip up and down are beautiful. But coming from California, where everybody is in the water. Most of my clients are surfing. If they're not, they're wildly active, which means ponytails. God help us if they're these bitches that love going to Mexico, because at that point, all bets are off if it's one of the Mexico girlies, because that, I'm like, oh, Lord, help me. That's going to be a rough one. That there are some like hidden bead methods that honestly just don't work for them because they are so rough on their hair. Yep. And I'm one, like, I'm like a halfsies. Like, on my dark side, I'm really rough because I don't care. But on my blonde side, I'm like, don't blow at it. Like, don't even leave it alone. Yeah. It's actually really healthy because like K18 is a godsend.
Amazing.
Obsessed with K18 so much. But like, that's what I think people have to realize, that there's no one answer anymore. There is not one answer. There is not one method. There is not one brand of hair. There is not one type of hair. There are so many options. Why wouldn't we want to have like as many tools as possible so we can pick and choose what's best for our clients? You know what I mean?
Yes, totally, totally agree. And kind of bouncing back, you were talking about, you know, saying like, it's mine, like being possessive over like a client. And a lot of that probably is, again, fear, scarcity mindset, and also tied to financial insecurity within yourself.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that that's also one of the biggest misconceptions about making money probably ever, is that you have to hoard it to make more. I know that there are people out there like that. And we all know of the rich billionaire who doesn't give to charity. Like, fine, that works. But you know what else works? And it's always worked for me, is I don't care. I give my money away. I overtip. I pay people probably more than I should to do the jobs that they do. But not I say more than they should, as in society and a lot of business coaches would take a look at it and say, whoa, 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 this is not enough profit for the business or profit for you. But I just simply don't believe that. I think that, you know, if I was in a different lifetime, but I had my same moral compass and I own something, you know, like Amazon, like people be making bank that just stacks flying out the door. Because I think that it takes people changing to that for income inequality to happen.
Yes.
You can't want for other people to grow and support them, but then you're paying people like minimum wage all the time. And I know that that's not always a appreciated opinion, and everybody's entitled to their own. I'm not saying that you can't pay minimum wage. Obviously, it's legal to do that. But for me and what I'm going to do with my business, I give it away. And you know what? It always seems to come back double.
Always. And you know,
something funny about that. You
know? And I also think there's like a, not like put your money where your mouth is, but like kind of.
Sure.
I think like when I started Morning Hair, you first off, like you can make a lot of money selling hair. Like, I'll be honest, like, you could. That's not how Morning Hair was structured. It just wasn't. Like, when I figured out like, okay, what's the bare minimum I have to charge to break even? And then I was like, okay, now between the break-even point, what the industry charges, what do I now think is fair? And I know the word like fair is also very subjective, and that's not how most businesses are run. But when I chose the pricing for Morning Hair, I was told like, you need to charge more. And I said, I won't. I would rather make way less profit, right? Not losing money. So yay on that. It's very expensive to have a hairline, by the way. It's the scariest thing I've ever done in my life.
Yeah.
People don't realize your factories have minimums, and that minimum comes every 6 fucking weeks, guys. But anyway.
that's terrifying. And you have ADHD, so the deadline paralysis all the time.
When people are like, I want to start my own hairline, I'm like, I fully support you. You should do it. I'm going to let you know what it's really like. It's 6 figures every 6 weeks you're spending. And like, it makes me throw up. But like, when I set the pricing for Morning Hair, like, I was told you should charge more. And I'm like, I won't, because I would rather make less profit and have something that's more accessible to people, which is why I sell it like by the weft. That is a lot more work, I will let you know. There are some days I'm like, but people love it, because profit in salons, we are in a recession. And on top of that, it's an election year. So we know in America is the times are hard. So it's like, even though it's more work for me and it's less profit, everyone who uses it is really happy. And that, at the end of the day, I'm like, that makes me happy. Like, that was my ultimate goal, was to provide something that it wasn't very common. Not saying it's wrong to do it any other way. I get why companies sell it by pack. It's way fucking easier, dude. But that was like my big thing. I would just rather make less profit and grow half as fast as everybody else or a quarter as fast. But like, yep. I stand behind what I'm doing and like the integrity and like the honesty and morals of the company, you know?
Yeah.
That's not, I'll be honest, it's not easy. Some days I look and I'm like, I should have charged more. And then I'm like, no, no. Remember why you're, I'm sure with like even your classes, you're like, I should have charged a lot of work today. Like,
yeah.
It is what it is.
It's going to feel like that sometimes.
But I do think like, to like, kind of like wrap this up though, but like when a student comes to you and they're like, dude, that made a huge difference. That changed everything for me. Or, because for me, like the hardest thing was, I think the pricing of things in the extension industry as a whole, from education to hair, is outrageous. It's so expensive that for newbies, it's almost like impossible to get in the game. And then it's like, oh, well, you don't have money. Well, fuck you. You don't have a following. Also, fuck you. Oh, you can't afford it. Well, fuck you. Well, damn, man. I think everyone deserves the chance to have a good education. Everyone deserves the opportunity for great hair. And I know the pricing for More Than a Method, it's more than fair. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
And like, that is a almost like a hard choice to make as a business owner, to know I'm willing to make less money for bigger impact. It's going to be slower growth, but it's going to work, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Well, and we trialed a lot of stuff too, because I mean, I'll be very honest, I didn't know the hell I was doing. There wasn't a book. I didn't have a rubric or nothing. And, you know, it's very interesting to see. It's very interesting because there's this perception that because something is more expensive, then it's better. I mean, we just have that kind of built in. It's like luxury stuff. If I go buy a Gucci purse, okay, well, the Gucci purse is like, I'm paying for the name, you know, and that doesn't mean that it's not really well made. But there are a lot of items that you could find in the $200 to $300 range that could be comparable in terms of like build quality in some of those luxury brands, right? And it's just like that with everything. I think there was a big bubble of coaching that influenced a lot of that pricing. The push for high ticket sales was really big around
high
the time.
High ticket. Oh,
yes.
My God.
And it's like, you do less people, but you make all this money. It's like, yeah, but you're going to run out. And the only way that you sustain a high ticket like that is kind of a little bit seedy, I think, in the way that you have to market it to get kind of like a gotcha to get them in the door. Right. And like, I just wasn't comfortable with that. Like, I just wanted to be honest about what people were getting and doing and have them want to stay if they wanted to stay and leave if they wanted to leave. And so far, it's been great. It's like you said, it's like it could be slower growing, sure. And I'm not making enough or not enough, but as much money in the first portion of it. But I also really don't have to market a ton because people just talk about me in Facebook forums and stuff. I don't know. You know, I'll go on and I'm like, I need to find this person on the subscription and thank them because they're just singing praises and I don't know who they are. But that's like, that's the kind of community impact that we were talking about earlier that can really affect your business in the long run. Because on a lot of those threads, it's kind of opposite for certain companies. But I think if they really, really focus on just bringing value to who is purchasing from them and treating people well, that they could turn it around to.
Absolutely. So a piece of advice, I'll ask you two separate ways. What is your biggest piece of advice for like a stylist in the extension world? And then what would be your biggest piece of advice for someone who kind of wants to do what we're doing and educate and teach and train? What would you give to each one?
So in terms of learning extensions, I think the biggest thing is that mindset is going to drive everything that you do. And it's not about attaching yourself to like the specific salon method brand. It's really about self-assessment. And I know this is like, well, you're not talking about technique, but it's so necessary for you to understand how to self-assess without self-degrading. Because I see so many stylists, they're stuck and their work is actually great. And they're just like miserable because they think it's not. Or they aren't quite there, but they can't also get to the next level because they don't think they can. So inner work. It's actually just very, very important. And just giving yourself grace, I think, because like Ani said, like everybody sucks when they're new at something, and that perfectionism is, it will be a factor that impacts you negatively most of the time, not positively.
Yep. Love that.
For educators, I would say make sure that you're in it for the right reasons. Mm-hmm. You know, it can look like, oh, I could make all of this money and do all of these things, but I work way more than I ever did behind the chair. I love it. To be fair, I thrive off that. Somebody audios me at midnight and I'm like, hello.
I will say,
can I help you?
Your audios are not short. I asked you a question that I swear to God could have been answered with a yes or no, and you were like, ah, is my mic on?
10 minutes later,
I talked to you 5 years ago. I was like, oh, and I loved it. I loved it.
I can't stop myself. Like, if somebody asked me a question, I think that is this my personality to help. So I will help in any way that I can and give you all of the surrounding details. But, you know, it is so rewarding, mm-hmm. but it is not a get rich quick scheme. And even if you do that, it's going to catapult, it's going to fall. Like the house of cards is going to fall.
Yeah.
But I think I'll have like two parts of that yeah. piece of advice for them. And it would be to understand how to read people and understand how to communicate with different types of people, because it's one thing to teach like your friends or your fellow stylists, but then when you're in a room where everybody's from different states, they might even be from out of country, mm-hmm. and you're trying to get a point across, you have to know how to explain it in multiple ways to hit each individual person. It can't just be how you like to teach. It has to be adaptable. And I think those make the best educators. This wasn't somebody who's like, I don't get it. They can very quickly give you a different example that says, oh, light bulb. Like, not everybody works good with metaphors. Some yeah. people do really well with metaphors. So maybe I'm switching from a metaphor to like a very logical explanation of exactly what is happening, point A to point B, I think is really important for education.
I love that. The amount of times, because I'm right-handed, I've had to learn to stitch and bead like yep. lefty. I'm not ambidextrous, but I'm telling yes. you, this left hand is doing yes. all of a sudden.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Yeah.
I love that. So guys, once again, you can find her name's Christine Woods. You can find her. It's Paint and Pixie. In case, because I know I feel like when we say fast Paint and Pixie, I'm like, is it an yeah, N? And it's and Paint and Pixie, or on More Than a Method on Instagram. Her education is literally amazing. I highly, highly recommend you do it. And you, I want to say, the one thing I want to steal from you is your like yes. salon filming space. When you sent me a video, I was like rolling over it. I was like, this is going, I'm going to print it out. It's going to go on my vision board. Yes. I have one, but I'm going to make one just for that. It is yes. cool.
Like, thank you.
Really, you did a hell of a fucking job. So
thank you.
So I literally feel like we could go on for hours.
Oh, we could talk for 6 hours.
We're going to have to do literally another podcast.
Yeah,
like, you're done. We're done. Yeah. So much more.
Yes.
Thank you so much for being here today. Seriously, it was wonderful.
Yes. Thank you for having me.
Yes. We'll see you guys next time.
See ya.